I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail.
It's the Final Word Daily with Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon for the Advanced Hair Studio, the world leaders in hair restoration. We've seen a test match finish before lunch on the third day. Jeff, tell us how that happened all, please, in the space of 30 seconds.
Australia lasted 11 balls, the last two got out quickly. Sri Lanka came out 109 behind. Dimuth Karunaratne, 17 off the first over from Mitchell Starc. Oh, they're going to make a go of it. No, they're not. He got out. Two wickets for Mitchell Sweeps, and Nathan Lyon gets busy. He takes four, and then Travis Head comes on at the end and does an outrageous, ridiculous cameo. 4 for 10 he took with some shredding off breaks. Australia win before lunch on day three.
I think we thought there was a chance at different points this could be a three-day test match, but that was before the rain and the wind yesterday. I think we probably reconciled ourselves to the fact that it would be into 4 days. And then Sri Lanka are bowled out in 22.5 overs the second time around. They go after Starc initially. They've got a deficit of 109.
Mm-hmm.
For the briefest moment, you're thinking, well, they'll counter-attack as well. The problem was when the ball got spinning, when they brought the slow bowlers online and Swepson...
Which was immediately, because Lyon opened the bowling.
And then Swepson came on after two expensive overs from Starc. They were able to put the screws on so quickly that they had no way out. They kept sweeping their way to their demise, one to the next.
Yep, and with in a fairly sort of aimless fashion, it looked like they were just playing shots at whatever came down and hoping for the best, rather than playing shots with some sort of plan. And, you know, if you don't have some sort of plan, you get found out pretty quickly in this sort of situation. It never really felt like things were going Sri Lanka's way. The only time was when Dinesh Chandimal came out. And just for a minute, you know, he's coming in at number six. He looked pretty good. He was on it. He was all over it. He was facing the two main spinners pretty well. And then Travis Head comes on to bowl. And you're not expecting a whole lot from Travis Head. And you're not expecting Travis Head to bowl an off break that pitches about 1.2 metres outside the off stump and then turns through the gate to knock off the leg bail. I mean, absurd bowling. And Chandimal was just deeply confused.
It reminded me of the delivery that Michael Vaughan bowled to Sachin Tendulkar, wasn't it? All those years ago in 2002, where you kind of don't expect a batter to be able to generate that many revs on the ball. And so he did. And yeah, sure, favourable conditions and all the rest of it. But boy, he gave it a rip. And yeah, that glorious moment where the ball goes through the bat and pad and Travis Head's eyes light up and the sounds through the effects mic, through the stump mic, when they realised what Travis Head had done. I probably should have realised before that it was his first test wicket. He's been used quite a lot of times at this level, but never breaking through. Four in the space of 2.5 overs, two in four balls to start. What a life.
Four for ten.
West Indies, stumps, Boxing Day 1981. 4 for 10, there's a nerd pledge for you.
There you go. Glenn Maxwell would have taken 5 for 9. I'm just saying. He would have. I could feel it. I could have felt it in my heart, but he wasn't there. He did subfield a bit, you know, got out there, got the baggy green on again. So that was nice.
I did see him wearing his test shirt over there, doing some photos with his family a moment ago, wearing the Maxwell 32 test shirt. I'm thinking to myself, I hope we get to see it again. But even though Head will be assessed on his batting first, I don't think that his 4 for 10 will make the decision either way. It can't.
But they also can't drop him on the basis of one innings.
Yeah, it's tricky. I don't think they will leave him out, if they're looking for a permission structure, if he bowls two overs, none for 22, it's easier than 2.5 overs, 4 for 10.
Yeah, exactly. You will get smashed by a bunch of people if you do it. And there's the old Australian, why change a winning 11? Yep. Look, Cameron Green wasn't called upon to bowl in the test match. Patrick Cummins didn't bowl himself in the second innings at all. We'll come to that later in the Hall of Fame, about the detail on that. But I thought you would. But they didn't need more bowlers. You know, I remember in the first innings we were thinking, well, they don't have a backup spinner. If the Sri Lankans see out some time from Swepson and Lyon, they don't really have a reliable someone else to come on. But they didn't need them. Those two did the job in the first innings. And the Travis Head thing was basically just party time. It was, oh, well, have a go. You might as well have a go. Oh, you got one? Stay on. Oh, you got another one. All right, well, we won't take you off then. It wasn't necessary. They didn't need Travis Head at that point because Nathan Lyon was bowling gorgeously.
Yeah, Trav time, party time, excellent. That's how it felt with him at the end when, you know, there's nothing he could have really done wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
When the game was there to be won, really the game was there to be won yesterday with the way Australia batted, having a lead of 101 overnight. But Nathan Lyon, 5 wickets on the first day, robbed of a fifth in the second, finishes with match figs of 9 for 121, I think it was, if I've got my sums right. I think it was 4 for 31 the second time around.
And 10 wicket matches don't come along all that often. He's only got three of them in his career. Could have had another, except for bloody Travis Head.
Well, I mean,
oh, he's always in there.
We celebrated Nathan Lyon on the field at Lahore after the final day of that test when he took five to win them the series there with Pat Cummins. And we should do so again today because he went past Ranganaherath, 4:33. Went past Kapil Dev, 4:34. He finishes, I think he's on 4:36. Yep,
he is.
So he's only three away from Dale Steyn. He moves into
and
the top 10.
Seven away from Ravichandran Ashwin.
Oh, that'll be interesting next week.
Yeah, okay. So this is...
Because Ashwin won't play this week, but we don't expect he will.
That's starting today. That
test
match between India and England will be starting later today at the time of recording. Ashwin on 4:42, not expected to play. I mean, he could if there's a late injury or something, but they said they were likely to go with Jadeja and the quicks. India, some people have been telling me they play Bangladesh for two tests in December, but Australia...
They always play for Bangladesh for a couple of tests at some point.
You can always find time to pop through Bangladesh for a couple of tests, unless you're Australia, and then you can't. But Australia have five tests at home. So at the point that Lyon and Ashwin come head-to-head, potentially, if they're both fit in February next year, they might be on exactly the same test wickets.
Right. Like Murali and Warne here in 2004.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. It's the less sexy version because it's finger spinners and nobody cares about finger spinners. But Murali and Warne, they're all over the ground. You won't be able to see, but in the background here, their faces are all over the ground. Their hands are on the trophy, that sort of weird, creepy, disembodied hands thing. That it's the trophy that is most likely to kill you. Like, it's the trophy that's most likely to be haunted if there was one, because it's just, like you see it coming to get you down the hallway. There's little hands creeping down late at night. But this is the finger spinner version. They're in the contest. They're in the tussle. Ashwin went past Lyon when Lyon couldn't get to 400. He was stuck on in the 390s for about 2 years, and Ashwin soared past him, and now Lyon's reeled him in a bit. Like the peloton, it's like,
well,
like a Tour de France.
Given their careers have kind of been at the same time, I think Ashwin debuted a year before. Maybe it should be called the Lyon-Ashwin Trophy. Sorry, Alan. Sorry, Sunil.
Mm-hmm.
Good players, but they didn't play loads and loads against each other.
No.
Whereas these two have played, it'll be like eight or nine series by the time they're done.
They played more against each other than both
of
them at Richards.
We're going to cop it in the comments for suggesting Sunil Gavaskar, one of the demigods of Indian cricket, comes off a trophy. But you know what I'm trying to say? It's not about him. It's about my love for Ashwin.
I think he's had his go. Gavaskar, he's had his time. Everybody's told him how good he was. They all gave him a birthday cake on air.
Yes.
He's had a good run. Make way. You've got to make way for the next generation of trophy namer afterers.
So with Lyon, goes into the top 10. And it's nice that it happened here, the ground where it all started. The story is so well known. But to go from, you know, literally being on the roller for the 10-11 Ashes Test match at Adelaide to be playing in the next series Australia played in Sri Lanka, here at Gaul, wicket first ball, five for it the first time of asking, to take nine here on his return. Between times, this is what I wanted to come to, 2016, he bowled very poorly in Gaul and very poorly across a three test match series, and he admitted as much himself. He kind of retaught himself how to bowl for subcontinental conditions after that misadventure. Went to India, took his 8 for 50 at Bangalore on the first day. It was good all the way through. In Bangladesh, took 22 wickets at Spip later in 2017. This is the next series they've played in conditions like that. Pakistan was concrete. The UAE's the UAE. This is his next series in, you know, spinning Asia as opposed to kind of flat Asia. And it was a reminder that he has retaught himself how to dominate in these conditions, take responsibility. It was a brilliant performance. In any other week, he'd have been player of the match, if not for the fact that Green scoring 77 the way that he did was crucial to Australia having the first innings lead to start with. But I mean, Lyon, I guess, was the second player of the match, if you like, and we'll celebrate that.
And I think you can easily make the case to say that Lyon was the one who set up the match in the first innings by not letting Sri Lanka get a decent first innings score when they might have done. But it was interesting that it wasn't his sort of undercutting the ball, ugly bowling stuff that got him results here. He was going over spin. He was getting bounce. And it was the bounce that was really doing players in. That was what was making them flinch, making them pull away. Yes.
We talked yesterday about having a plan, and if sweeping's your plan, go with it. It couldn't have been all of their plans. I mean, you know, some of them must play another way than just sweeping at everything. I mean, I don't...
Chandamal's the only one who came down the pitch a few times.
That's right.
And he was the one who looked the most composed until he got blindsided by that Travis Head delivery. But yeah, the Karunaratne one, like, because he was going pretty nicely, but he plays a sweep shot to a ball that's, you know, too far off the deck by the time he sweeps at it. Bottom edge, really good catch from Alex Carey, who's kept really well in these conditions as well. So it's another little tick for Australia. You know, they'll be feeling like everything's gone their way. You know, when we finished up off air, I went into the corridor and I passed Brad Haddin in the hall. I said, you know, short and sweet, and he just said, it was perfect. It was perfect. And for an Australian player, it was perfect. Over in 3 days, a couple of days off, but everything went right for them.
Yeah, and finishing at the right time of day to enjoy themselves as well. Yeah. We know that when they finish a test around lunchtime, it means they can have a big session and really let their hair down. And they're entitled to do so, playing the way they did and preparing the way they did for this as well. Like, a lot of the guys have been in Sri Lanka for about a month with the white ball squad and the lead up to the white ball games, playing a few practice matches over here with the A squad too. So, you know, they've earned the chance to enjoy their win. They've actually got a week between test matches. They don't start test two until next Friday. That's a little bit odd. I think they probably could have had a smaller gap to begin with, but it does mean they can enjoy the circumstances. Although in saying that, the first thing David Warner did after he finished 10 not out, I should say Warner winning the game with a six, because why not?
Yep.
Reverse sweep four, big booming bomb over mid-wicket out of the ground six to complete the five
you
target.
You need five to win, I'll take 10, thank you.
I'll take 10, thank you. As soon as he finished, I saw him just before walking out to the nets to have another hit. So David Warner, never satisfied, always been pretty much the hardest training player in the squad. And maintaining that reputation deep into his 30s.
Yeah, a bit like Steve Smith at that tour game at Derby 2019 when he got out and just walked off and got his net bag from next to the boundary rope and went straight into the nets. He's the only one who'll be unhappy, I think, because he didn't get to bat a second time.
Yes.
He would have been sort of maybe secretly hoping that Karuna Ratna makes a double and it gives him 400 to run down. And
it's the most individual team sport there is. Let's not forget that.
It is. And so he'll have to wait nearly a week until he gets another chance to go.
Word for Mitch Webson, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, let's remember the pressure. We reflected on this a little bit a couple of days ago, but you know, after going wicketless at Lahore, wicketless in the second dig at Karachi, to get on a little bit of a roll in the first innings and backing it up with some hard-spun leg breaks today, the work he was getting on the ball, they prepared him for this. They knew they were going to play up to four series in Asia in quick succession. It's not going to be quite as quick as we thought because India has been pushed out to next March. Afghanistan, hopefully, will be there as well. But it was all about 2022 and this Asian odyssey of sorts. And they were waiting for the time to release another leggy into the wild. And, you know, credit to him, much as it was with Lyon, he seemed to really enjoy his work. Whereas in Pakistan, you could see that tension building, that anxiety of having none for next to your name for hour after hour. Well, here it was a different story. He took advantage of the situation presented, and now hopefully that'll kickstart his international career.
Yeah, the 514 deliveries between wickets that you mentioned from Pakistan, but then picking up five in the test match here and taking a couple of important ones, you know, top order ones. We also didn't mention that Angelo Matthews got subbed out of the game with COVID, and so Ashada Fernando, a much younger, less experienced player, came in. He only made 12 as the COVID sub. So things just weren't going right for Sri Lanka, but they really did come out today looking like a team that was just a bit, we're going to lose anyway, so let's just get it over and done with.
Yeah, again, it comes down to, you know, surely the plan A, plan B, plan C wasn't just sweeping at everything when Lyon was getting that much bounce. You're right with your point before, by the way. He wasn't undercutting it. He did in the first innings. It was more about overspin in the second, and it worked a treat. And Sweps, and I already mentioned the overspin. He was getting on the ball and mixing that with his leg break. That's probably not the conditions to try and sweep and sweep and sweep. And, yeah, I suppose they'll have some time to reflect upon that. They don't have many options, really, in the squad to turn to either. Having Ashada Fernando come into the team today as the COVID sub, he was the spare bat. So they're going to ask themselves some questions between now and next week. They're going to play, I think it's four pitches over. Hard for us to tell at this stage of the preparation what it'll do, but I'd be amazed if it does anything different, which might provide a selection question for Australia as to whether they play a third specialist spinner. The reason I ask that is because Cummins didn't bowl in the second dig. They turned ahead to finish things off. They could have had, if it gets tough, they may want a third frontline spinner. And we saw Kuhneman and Holland bowling overs out in the middle on the test pitch as soon as it was over.
Well, Stark barely bowled in the second and got whacked. But one thing that might come into consideration that we didn't mention earlier was Australia resumed at 8 down. They lost the last two very quickly because Asita Fernando got reverse swing.
Big time.
Now, and this is interesting because Pat Cummins lost the ball last night when he bombed it into the fort and some passerby grabbed it and made off with it. They had to replace it. So, you know, replacement ball of similar age or whatever it was. It might have been drier or whatever it was when they started this morning, but it reversed immediately for Asita Fernando and he bowled Pat Cummins and then he bowled Mitch Swepson to finish things off quickly. So that might be something where they think, well, it is possible out there. We might need Stark to reverse it at some point. Cummins has to play. Green's not going anywhere. They're probably still playing three seamers. I think they're just playing the same 11. Sri Lanka, on the other hand, they might need to change up their spinners because their spinners were trash,
yeah,
to be frank.
And they've got a couple of options from guys who played in the one-day series who've been up against the Australians in recent times. Time will tell. Time for the Final Word Hall of Fame. The Final Word Hall of Fame brought to you by the Advanced Hair Studio, the world leaders in hair restoration, advancedhairstudio.com/final word. Click on the page. It's on the top of your screen if you're watching on YouTube right now. I'm not sure which corner it goes in. It's in the show notes if you're in the podcast. Have a look. There's a website devoted to Jeff and me on the Advanced Hair Studio page, which seems staggering to me given their illustrious support of cricket over three decades where they've helped over a million people. 100% guarantee, Jeff.
Oh, yeah?
You don't get that from many people. No. 100% guarantee, 15% discount because you know him and me. AdvancedHairStudio.com /final word. Go on, take a look at the page, and all you need to do is put your details in. They'll get straight back to you with one of their experts, and you're away.
Get your noggin re-turfed if you so desire.
Maybe Nathan should.
Maybe Nathan.
I was watching Nathan bowl from behind him today at the pavilion.
I just worry about his head. I hope he's putting sunscreen on the top of his head.
But he won't need sunscreen on there if he takes the 15% discount.
Every time he spends so much time bareheaded,
if we see him
shining
tonight,
off his head.
If we see, he's got 436 test wickets. He can go on the ads with Goffey and Gucci and Mo and all the rest. Of course, the late, great Shane Warne. I think that Nathan Lyon deserves a spot in those commercials. If we can get him over the line, watch this space.
He's got more test wickets than he has follicles of hair at the moment, and that could change. Nonetheless, in terms of the Hall of Fame suggestions, well, I think we should go to yours first because we talked about the 436 for Nathan Lyon. We didn't talk about the 198 for Patrick Cummins.
I mean, the selflessness of it all. Doesn't open the bowling. He's on 198. He knows he's going to take two wickets if he bowls a couple of spells.
Especially
Patrick
today.
Cummins.
Especially once they were six down. That would have been entirely forgivable to say,
exactly.
Okay.
I'm replacing Schweppo with myself.
It's daddy's turn now. Yes. You know.
Like he did in Pakistan to finish that test match off.
Yeah,
right?
Give Papa a bowl.
And he would have joined the 42 club. Malcolm
What's
Marshall.
The 42 club?
So there are four bowlers who have taken their 200th wicket in their 42nd test. Can't remember the fourth. I know it's a good cricketer.
Oh, it's Alan Donald.
Alan Donald.
Yeah.
Malcolm Marshall, Shane Warne, Mattia Muralitharan.
Oh, the two who are on the trophy.
Did it in their 42nd test, and Pat Cummins missed the chance to join them because he
could have got on the trophy.
Because such a good, bloody good bloke.
It could have been the Warne Muralitharan Cummins trophy. Like, he could have got himself a gig.
So
Lyon, Ashwin, Cummins.
Pat will be in the 43 club, which doesn't have the same kind of...
No. Law 42 is the run out of the non-strikers.
It is
isn't
as
it?
Well. Good point.
So he's missed out, and he could have come on and bowled at the tail, and they didn't care by then. The Sri Lankans were done. It was coming up to lunch. They bring yourself on, Pat. What's this Travis Head nonsense? He got two in and over.
It was
all
fun,
right.
And the Travis Head thing was
whip
lovely. Great to call. I enjoyed all of that.
Sure.
To carry on, but I far would have rather calling Pat Cummins to a test wicket. We'll have to wait until next week.
Yeah,
what do you got for me on the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's just a bit too much like, you know, Tom Hawkins marking 30 out and then handballing over the top to someone. It's like, just do it yourself.
My frustration at watching Jason Dunstall kick 12.52, gave away 1,000.
Yeah,
anyway,
all of that. Mine, and this may be a little obvious, but it has to be this. It has to be that ripping off break that Travis Head bowled that turned a mile and hit leg stump. Not for the wicket, but for the fact that David Warner tried to catch the balls that ricocheted off the stumps and then got hit in the dick with the bail.
Yeah, good one, wasn't it?
Like, and the slow-mo replay is great because the ball's coming up, if you're listening to this in audio, the ball's coming up at around head height and Warner's got both hands in the slow-mo going for it and he's about to catch it and then he just folds in half because the bail has just clobbered him straight in the nuts. And he's on the floor sort of going, oh, and then he's coming up laughing because he's David Warner and he's a weirdo and he sort of likes getting hurt and he's like, oh, that's funny, I got hit in the nuts. You know, if you can laugh at yourself.
As Ben Stokes said a couple of years ago.
Famously. That'll be on his tombstone, Ben Stokes. Ooh, me dick. But, you know, I felt like that was David Warner through and through. He can even, if you can laugh at yourself being hit in the nuts, you have a good sense of humour.
Staying in the nether regions, we've been quite
the
critical.
The Netherlands, if you will.
The Netherlands, where I was a couple of weeks
they
ago.
They finished on Morgan's career.
Julian from the History of the Netherlands podcast, who joined us, well, he lives in Amsterdam, told me all about the distinction between Holland and Netherlands when I was over there. So
The Low Countries.
The
as,
Low Countries,
as you were.
Yes. So a nice reference there. When Travis Head takes that wicket of Dinesh Chandimal, I mean, it's the stuff you dream of as a spinner. There's enough time. And look, we've been critical of them having a DJ at the test match. I'd rather they didn't, but if they're going to, we should lean into it a bit. Probably not going to change before the second test. I enjoyed the choice of the Divinals. I touched myself when Head took his first test wicket because I suspect he'll be dimming the lights, getting out the baby oil and watching that on YouTube occasionally over the journey. The time he took his first test wicket, that might feature.
Light a scented candle. Treat yourself. Treat yourself, Travis. You've earned it. I think that's the show.
I think it is for Advanced Air Studio. AdvancedAirStudio.com/finalwood. Click the link in the notes or the one above our heads if you're watching on YouTube. If you haven't been watching on YouTube, we film this in cinematic mode on my iPhone, which should look quite nice with the fort kind of over our left shoulders and the team rooms over our right. So jump on YouTube, watch and share it with your mates. If you like what we do, patreon.com/thefinalwood. We have 2 days off in terms of the daily show, although there will be one from Edgbaston later from Daniel Norcross and Henry Moran making his final word host co-hosting debut. I'm pretty sure he's never, he's been on the show.
He's been an interview subject. He hasn't been a host.
So they'll be there at Edgbaston for England, India. That'll also appear on YouTube. And Jeff and I are going to rack up a bunch of interviews between now and the next test match, which starts a week from now. So you can listen to us on Storytime and watch us again on the weekly show. That's it. It's been the final word daily. Australia victorious in 920 deliveries by 10 wickets. That's that. The 13th. Quickest test match completed. We missed that in the Hall of Fame
as well. Yes, 920 deliveries. So there've been lots of draws that got rained off after 20 overs or whatever it was. But in terms of matches where there was a win and a loss, because one team had to do one and one had to do the other, there have only been 12 faster test matches.
Nice place to leave it. Final word daily for Advanced Hair Studio, the experts in hair restoration. Yeah, yeah.
See ya. I had to go.